It's now 8:22. My friend Steve Mitchell, he's the director for Carbondale Economic Development, and our guest this morning. Hey, Steve, how have you been, pal?
Not too bad, Tom. How about yourself? How are you doing these days?
Good, good. You know, staying busy. You know, it's interesting. I was getting a text this morning, and I maybe you can help me with this because I'm not sure I have a name here. But the supervisor for Cedar Lake contacted me this morning. We were talking about kayaking, Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge, and all the deer hunters coming in and how popular this has become. And they say, you know, I'm a Cedar Lake supervisor. Just want to let you know there's no state registration requirement for canoes, kayaks, or paddle boards, which I mm-hmm. thought was interesting. And then I said, hey, great. You know, so we need to talk about having you on the air soon. And he says, you know, also, folks, if they're looking for a place to hike this weekend, we have a little trail system on the north end of the lake. We don't allow shotgun deer hunting in the city's property around the lake, and so there's a safe place to hike. I saw several people asking about that in the Facebook, Shawnee National Page Facebook page this past weekend. So there's a lot of things like this, it attracts people to town.
Absolutely. That's Eric Stead. Eric has been with us for 2-3 years now. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's done a lot of great work out there. I got to tell you, he's really focused on recreation. And just like you said, Southern Illinois has got so many assets, you know, to not only for the folks who live here. You know, Tom, I've been a big fan of the Shawnee Forest for decades, and it's amazing how few people actually know the beauty that we have in this region. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I used to live right there at the entrance. There's a house there on the east side of the road as the entrance road comes out from the lake, and I lived right there with John Carney, who was now at KTRS. So
yeah,
we lived there for
a
couple of years.
Right? Yeah,
and just drive it. We pull out of the driveway and go right down to the lake.
Absolutely.
So Tier 3 today, Steve Mitchell joining us, Carbondale Economic Development, Tier 3. The governor's kept emphasizing not a lockdown, but I think, Steve, you have the sense of pulse here when it comes to this. I think some people still feel very much that it is.
Well, yeah, it's different than what we experienced back in April and May this past spring. It's not a complete lockdown, okay? So what we're seeing is restrictions on capacity. So you could still get your hair done, you know, you could still go grocery shopping, you could still do retail, you could do all the things that you've been doing. It's just the stores are not legally allowed to have as many people in the building as they were prior to today.
It seems as though, Steve, that there's a new attempt. I mean, when you look at it, government is dependent on business, right? Where do they get the money? And then the taxpayer, people who work there. One way, well, they're not dependent on business. They're dependent on other people's paychecks. Yeah, that's right. They're working in businesses to get those paychecks.
But, Tom, our entire society is dependent on our business.
Right? Literally everything, right, when you think about it. And there's got to be, if there's going to be action taken, there's going to have to be some attempt to achieve a balance between government dependent on business and a government that, in the name of public safety, impairs the business's ability to survive. I think a good example of this is understanding what happened at Denny's in Carbondale, right? It's because with the capacity reduced, they didn't have enough butts in seats to be able to pay the bills. And when it comes to somebody who owns a restaurant, they know you take a look at how much money you need to keep the business open every day, divide it by the number of chairs that you have in that place, and that chair's got to make $132 a day or you don't stay open.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that, I think that is a good example. We say, yeah, well, we're allowing you to stay open. Yeah, but we can't get enough people through the door with these standards to be able to keep enough money in our coffers to keep everybody paid.
Tom, it's a fine line between, you know, economic health and public safety, you know, public health. I am thankful I do not have to make those decisions. You know, it's a big job trying to do what I can and what the city can to help our businesses stay afloat during this time. But thank goodness I'm not the guy who has to make those calls. I mean, that's a no-win situation for anybody.
What do you suggest people do to help ensure the survival of their favorite store, restaurant, bar?
Continue to shop. My Lord. You know, these mitigation standards have hit at the worst possible time. I mean, there's no question about that. We're running into the holiday season, right? So traditionally Black Friday is next week, which I got to be honest, you know, our retailers during this time, especially the run-up of Christmas, at least 30% of most retailers' annual revenue comes during the season. 30%, that's a huge chunk. Even restaurants are impacted with holiday parties and all those kinds of things that are going on between now and, say, New Year's Day. I cannot stress the amount of difficulty it's going to be for a lot of our businesses. There's no question about it.
I talked to a caterer, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and they said, we've got our butt kicked all summer, weddings. We can't have so many. There's only so many people we normally do. He says, I estimate we've lost $130,000 in catering jobs, and I'm still taking phone calls today about more people canceling things for the holidays.
Oh, yeah, wedding venues, caterers, anyone who hosts large events for a living, oh, my gosh, yes, they're hugely impacted. But you know what? The bright spot of all this is we've got some really great grant programs out there. The state has some really great grant programs out there that, frankly, are going to mean the difference between these businesses, you know, staying open when we're behind, when this is all behind us, and closing the doors forever. I've seen certainly Carbondale businesses, a number of them, get grant awards that will mean the difference between closing forever and keeping the doors open. It's going to be a lifesaver for a lot of them.
So, even if you're not in Carbondale, where do you go to learn about these grant programs, Steve?
Well, Tom, here's what I would say to anybody who's listening right now. If you own a business, don't wait. Well, maybe wait till after your show's over, okay? But don't wait. Today, get online, search for Illinois Business Interruption Grant, apply for round two. I don't care what kind of business it is. I don't care where you're at. Apply. It's not difficult. And I got to tell you, I've seen grant awards from this program. We call it the BIG, Business Interruption Grant. I've seen the grant awards between $5,000 and $140,000. That's going to be a lifesaver for a business. It doesn't matter if you're a restaurant or a salon or what kind of business you are, apply. And if you're listening and you have friends that own businesses, do it. And I got to tell you, if you are concerned about, if you've got technical capability or, you know, you're concerned about, technical issues, technology or whatever, give me a call. Look me up, Stephen Mitchell, City of Carbondale. And if I can't help you, I will find someone who can.
I searched Illinois Big Grants while you were speaking. Number one hit, www.illinois.gov, and C-19 Disadvantaged Business Grants. Apparently $270 million in there exclusively for child care providers, too, as I'm looking at. $270 million for small business, and just a brief look at that information. Because, you know, there's the math that we're involved here, and I've been talking to some Carbondale business saying, look, you know, and this was, I guess, 2 weeks ago, Steve, our liquor licenses are due. We don't know whether we'll be here a year from now. We got to pay for an entire year's liquor license. We don't know whether we'll survive that long. I mean, they were really concerned about their property taxes and their liquor licensees' fees they have to pay when they don't know that they'll be here a month from now.
That's absolutely right. I have the exact same conversations. As a matter of fact, I think you probably talked to William Lowe, who is one of the leaders of Southern Illinois Eats. Great guy, great advocate for the hospitality industry. But he and I had a great conversation with some other restaurant and bar owners in town. And absolutely, you know, the city, we hear them. We hear their concerns. And I've taken everything that I've learned from those discussions, have put together and have submitted to council so that they can be aware firsthand of what the issues are. And it's things like liquor license fees. It's things like
property taxes.
Permitting, property taxes. Well, obviously we don't have any control over it. The city of Carbondale has no control over property taxes, so we can't help out with that.
Yeah.
But, again, that goes back to these grants. You know, if especially with property taxes, if you just apply, there's no guarantee that everyone who applies will win. But if you are awarded some grant funds, it can be a lifesaver for your business.
You know, this article headline is what drew me into the article, and it was that the Deutsche Bank believes that people who work from home should be taxed for that because they don't travel, but they benefit from the infrastructure. The way I eventually started to consumed that story was well, you know, we've lent money to a lot of big businesses to build offices, and now they're not being used, and you guys still need to pay for them. That's kind of was my takeaway. But once I started reading deeper into this, the phrase accelerated existing trends, the pandemic did. Work from home was already becoming a thing, and some people had been tinkering with that. But there were a lot of other items that were involved here as well. Brick-and-mortar stores and online shopping was mm-hmm. one of those things. And, you know, we have seen the tax base being corroded, kind of just like termites here for the past year. Well, they've gone now to just full-fledged hogs on in an apple orchard. you know, there's an erosion of that tax base, while at the same time we have to recognize that now taxes are collected online shopping by zip code at the same time. But these accelerating trends, education from home, no snow days anymore, things like that. You know, that the pandemic's done that. I mean, this vein of thought is probably something you too are familiar with.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, we don't know yet what the new landscape, once we come out of this, you know, and we're able to kind of resume our normal lives and without this hanging over all of our heads, we don't know yet what that landscape's going to look like. You know, are people, well, let me give you an example. You know, I've got grandkids, and they're struggling trying to do classes online because it's the social component that they're not getting. So, and it's the same with adults. We're social creatures. We need social interaction. And frankly, I've limited my off work social time drastically because of this. So most of my social interaction occurs at work, and that's somewhat limited because, you know, we are doing all the social distancing. But my point is that we are social creatures. So I think eventually we're going to get back to a situation where we'll be in offices, and it might be, you know, the cubicle farms might be a thing of the past. I don't know,
right?
But it's going to be different. But I think the social component will always be there. We are social animals. We thrive on it. It's core to who we are as creatures, you know. So it'll be different, but I don't think it's going to be as drastic in the long term as what some people are predicting. Now, short term, yes, you know, we're going to have vacant office buildings. Yeah, we are, and we're going to see some other vacant storefronts, I'm afraid. But that's short term. I think things will work themselves out as time goes by.
You know, and the fact that this long term, because I've seen several reports, airline industry, we're not going to be back till 2026 normal. I've seen some of these longtime forecasters, and I think how quickly we forgot how well the last 3.5-4 years have gone economically. I mean, to the point where people couldn't find enough people to work. And that this will permanently stop that. Now, I know that there's such a thing as economic momentum. There's probably a more official word. But, you know, I find the fact that you feel that the recovery is on the other side of, well, I'm assuming a vaccine, correct, Steve?
That's right. Yeah. Well, it, absolutely. Vaccine, the news looks really great. And I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I think the tunnel's still long, but we can see the light. So, you know, I don't have any crystal ball here, and I'm not a medical professional, but I wouldn't be surprised that our situation is more normal by midsummer. Than not. So I think we're in pretty good shape there, or will be, if we can get through this hump, right?
Right.
Between now and then, if we can get over this hump, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
It's interesting. Somebody just texted in on the American Monument text line, gift cards, Tom, something that I know Mike Absher over in Marion, Marion Mayor's been, you know, saying, hey, look, gift cards are a great way to help your local business keep their head above water if you want to go and do that. So we've got a lot on our minds here when it comes to the holiday season, because I think of, in Jackson County, Carbondale being the shopping hub for the county, and how important that is for the community to be able to, you know, go gangbusters. Not that we want, you know, knockdown brawls on Black Friday, but, you know, just something below that would be nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, absolutely it would be.
So we've got to get out there and do what we can to support our local stores to ensure they go through. And as Ron said, gift cards are a great thing to do. And to understand that many of these restaurants can still provide you just a pretty darn good meal in carry out and delivery, too. And you have a lot of that in Carbondale. So, but still, I see people, and I don't know whether it's hyperbole or not, that I'm driving through Carbondale and I'm seeing stores boarded up. And I'm like, I don't see that. Do you see that anywhere?
No, I don't see any boarded up stores. I mean, our downtown, we've got some empty storefronts that I'm constantly trying to figure out how to get those filled. And, you know, obviously, University Mall, well, it's just like any other mall throughout the rest of the country. You know, all the malls are struggling, and University Mall is no different. Hats off to the mall management and leadership for keeping it as viable as they have for as long as they have in this really difficult time. It's not just a pandemic for retailers, right? As you mentioned, online shopping has been a real challenge for a lot of retailers to adapt to. But now's the time. And I love the gift card idea. That gentleman's absolutely right. Mayor Apsher is absolutely right. Pick your favorite retailer. Pick your favorite restaurant. Buy gift cards. Use those as Christmas presents, right?
Yeah.
I do that every year. You know, it's one size fits all. You don't have to worry about the color. You don't have to worry about the size. You know a gift card's going to be the right thing for anybody on your shopping list.
My understanding is a post from somebody I follow because I love their mushrooms. Flyaway Family Farm. I met him at the Carbondale Community Farmers Market just the weekend before the lockdown.
Uh-huh.
And that they made an announcement that they've secured the location of the University Mall for the Farmers Market this winter. They did that yesterday.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I was speaking with the director, or one of the, not the director, but one of the leaders of Foodworks who organizes that, and trying to help. I didn't help him with the University Mall location, but I think that's a great partnership. It makes complete sense.
Yes.
They're going to be indoors, climate controlled, and it could help some traffic to the mall at a time that's going to be crucial.
Oh, I never thought about that. One onto the other, right? Creating foot traffic, the other stores have the market, have the other stores available, keep it all on one roof. I didn't even see that. I was more selfish. I was thinking, good, I can finally run into this guy and pick up some more of these oyster mushrooms that he grows. By the way, that'll start December 5th at the University Mall, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that'll be the Carbondale Community Farmers Market, which will be inside. I'm not exactly sure of the location, but hey, Steve, before I let you go, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say it's over by the old theater. It's on that end of the mall.
Okay. I know exactly where. Okay, no problem. Yeah, there's a couple of doors that you can walk right in from different locations of that place, too.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Hey, before I let you go, Steve Mitchell's joining us, Carbondale Economic Development Director. Christmas shopping, the holidays, important time for economic development, economic growth, or just sustaining what we have at this point. Last-minute thoughts, Steve, before I let you go?
Shop local, wear your mask. If you're a business, apply for the business interruption grant.